Quickly on the overview of the department, which was, I think by now the members should be familiar with, but we always just like to reiterate. And then we'll give some achievements that we have at least achieved for the first quarter. And as you say, Chair, our annual year starts on the 1st of April until end of March. So that's therefore why this is the first quarter from an April, May, June performance. We will then provide some reasons for delays in achieving some of the targets. We'll share with you at least some remedial action that we're putting in place, challenges on some specific indicators, a brief highlight of the achievements per the program, and then a summary of the outcome progress. And then we will quickly just give you a sense of where we are on the finances and conclude. So just who we are as a department, we derive our mandate from the white paper of 1996, which introduced the concept of a national system of innovation as a driver for work of science and technology for innovation. We haven't, in our view, achieved an ideal national system of innovation. We have one, but we continue to look at instruments that we can provide as government in order to connect all the pieces of the various components of the national system of innovation, which is defined, therefore, at the bottom of this slide. We introduced specific policy documents, one in 2002, National Research and Development Strategy, as well as the 10-year Innovation Plan in 2008-10, and therefore these documents continue to be the policy package that the department uses to advance its work. The last document was a document that seeks to look at how we can transform the economy from a resource-based economy into a knowledge-based economy by 2018. In this knowledge-based economy, the production and the dissemination of knowledge will lead to economic benefits and enrich all fields of human endeavor. So in this regard, the measure of success will be the level to which science, technology, and innovation play in driving and enhancing productivity, economic growth, and social economic development. So the vision of the DST is to create a prosperous society that derives enduring and equitable benefits from science, technology, and we do this by ensuring that we have a NSI that is developed, coordinated, and well managed. And this NSI has to bring maximum human capital we need, sustainable economic growth, and improved quality of life. So the specific objectives of the department is to enhance our ability to generate knowledge, to have adequate research capacity, to develop the innovation capacity of the national system of innovation, our ability to translate knowledge into useful products and services, to ensure that we have appropriate science and technology and innovation, human capital, the people who do work, to build world-class science, technology, and innovation infrastructure, such as the SKA and others, to position South Africa as a strategic international research, development, and innovation partner and destination. The work of the department is in support of a number of outcomes. Outcome to a long and healthy life for all South Africans with the work that we do in our health portfolio. Decent employment through inclusive growth. We have a large portfolio of initiatives that are supporting this outcome. Skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path. Outcome 5, efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network, especially on the ICT infrastructure. Vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities and food security for all. We have a portfolio of initiatives in Program 5 that are contributing to this outcome. And then, of course, to have science and technology and innovation activities to inform outcome 10 on environmental assets, natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. And the recent MTFF does make reference to these outcomes on the work of the Department of Science and Technology. We are organized as a department into five programs. The first one is administration, international cooperation, where we work with partners in the continent and the rest of the world. We have a program that looks at the use of science and technology and looking for innovation that drives socioeconomic outcomes. Research development support, where we have the infrastructure and human capital initiatives, and then technology innovation, where we have instruments that try to support technology innovation across a number of areas that we have chosen. And all of these, as I've said before, are grouped by the White Paper on Science and Technology, the NRDS of 2002, and the 10-year innovation. So just quickly on program one, its aim is to conduct an overall management and administration of the department. Program two is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging focus areas to promote the realization of commercial products, processes, and services from research and development outputs. We do this by creating an enabling policy across the system. International cooperation. This program aims to develop, promote, and manage international relationships, opportunities, and science and technology agreements that strengthen our national system of innovation so that we can have an exchange of knowledge, capacity, and resources between South Africa and its regional partners and international partners. Program 4 is the one that provides an enabling environment for research and knowledge production that promotes strategic development of a number of areas, basic sciences and priority science areas, through science promotion, human capital development, provision of infrastructure and research support in support of our vision to have a knowledge-based economy. And then the last program, Program 5, socio-economic innovation partnerships. It enhances the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science and technology-based innovation interventions and development of strategic partnership with other government departments, industry research institutions, and communities. So that sets the scene, Chairperson. So now I'm quickly going through the overall performance of this first quarter. We have a number of indicators, 65 all in all, for the 14-15 financial year. We think we are on course with a total of, at least for the first quarter, 44 of the 65, which translates to 68%. And the figure that I will show now shows that only 19 of these, or 29%, were at moderate risk, with 3% that have already been achieved. So this is shown in this pie chart. So what we then do is, over the next three quarters, we monitor these targets, especially the yellow ones that are at moderate risk. So how do we do this? We have zoom in to find out why these are at moderate risk, and there are three reasons broadly that perhaps are responsible for this. In certain instances, there are administrative delays in achieving the target. Sometimes there's a change in the scope of work as one of the reasons. In this case, for instance, an example that we're giving is that in finalizing the draft marine and Antarctic research strategy, the research community requested that they have further consultation, and of course also consultation between ourselves and the Department of Environmental Affairs. The second set of reasons is process delays. So in certain instances, we find that we require inputs that we need from other stakeholders in order for us to achieve the target. The example that we are providing here is the work that we did on IKS bill, the sui generis bill, and we needed to get concurrence and at least alignment with the Department of Trade and Industry. And until such time that we get that response, we sort of find ourselves, and then we use all other, I will share with you what remedial processes we then put in place to address some of these. And then another one could be a process of targeting, where in certain instances a target is only going to be realized in later quarters, third or fourth, and therefore we are not able to report on the target at this point in time because until students have graduated, you cannot report. So what are the remedial actions that we put in place? We as the executive committee of the department, we then work with the TDGs that are responsible for the portfolios and indicate, of course, the tentative performance status. We meet every month to see whether the program will ensure that the target is on course, moderate risk, and whether it will be achieved. I've already given an example of a workshop that is, or seems to have been conducted to solicit inputs from the marine research as one of the progress that we've made on that one. And then, of course, sometimes we have an improved planning process where at the moment we are in discussion with the DTI to address the problem of the appeal that we're seeking DTI's concurrence on the IKS bill. So again, we have given the detail on each of the, especially the moderate risk of some of the challenges. So here I've already talked about the challenge we have on this area, which is at moderate risk on finalizing the adaptive research strategy and marine research. This is also at moderate risk, but we think that we are working fairly closely with both the Technology Innovation Agency together with the other institutions that are supporting interns for us, mainly the TIA in this case. We think that we've already achieved some target in administration, and we think we should be okay on the vacancy rate for interns in administration. So we'll give you some achievements per some of the programs. Program 2, the innovation priorities and instruments chief directorate. So it's one chief directorate within technology innovation program 2. It had a commercialization workshop with our colleagues from Taiwan. This was part of the delegation that went to Taiwan to learn how they have commercialized their products from knowledge. It's one of the countries that has done very, very well in ensure that even though they don't have products that are produced by original manufacturers, but their technology is embedded in a number of products that we consume all over the world. The three hydrogen centers of competence have been supported, and we are happy to say that two patent applications are being filed as we speak, and they are in an area of storage of hydrogen, which is one of the difficult areas in the area. We think on technology innovation also, we are on course to meet the targets of postgraduate students, as well as the students that are being trained in strategic areas of space, robotics, and other emerging research areas. In program 3, international cooperation, we are on the verge of signing the memorandum of understanding with the Malaysian government, and I've already talked about the partnership that we have with Taiwan. These are facilitated by our colleagues in ICR. The minister led a delegation to a very important forum, European Open Science Forum, which was held in Copenhagen this year. And then she's also participated in a Carnegie Group meeting together with the BRICS ministers and advisors to exchange perspectives with their counterparts on global STI cooperation issues and areas. And one of the areas that she came back excited about was the resistance on antibiotics, and that a lot of countries are not prepared to deal with these challenges. Discussions on energy security and research infrastructure of a global nature. So we think we are on course to meet the target of securing approximately 350 million rands into the STI in South Africa. And then on the research development support, we are excited on the partnership that is developing with the Department of Arts and Culture where the Department of Arts and Culture requested collaboration with the DST in areas of heritage, indigenous knowledge, and paleontology. And as you can see, we hope that the two departments will jointly showcase in the South Africa year in China some products that we are working together with them on. And then, of course, so I'm sure the committee is aware that we have the public launch events at various institutions on the 5 additional centers of excellence that were launched in the first quarter, and they're given in detail in the report. Also on the research development and support, we are really excited about this prospect of commercializing these reconfigurable open architecture computing hardware boards. Just for the benefit of the members, the square kilometer array, and in particular our Meerkat team in Carnarvon, has been developing IT infrastructure to process the data that will come from the telescope. So these boards are one of the IT boards that are used to convert the data into signals inside the machine that you can then process further. So we now are extremely happy that there's a possibility of supporting the manufacturing of these Roche boards in South Africa for both the SKA project but also for other applications outside the square kilometer array project. We think we are on course to meet the infrastructure grants that we hope to award, and of course to ensure that the researchers that are awarded NRF grants receive the money they need. We think that we should be in a position to finalize our approach to astronomy across the all fields of astronomy, the gamma ray, the optical, as well as the radio astronomy. We also continue to ensure that we have an engaged society. Of course, we are still finalizing the numbers of the National Science Week with our science centers in SASCA, who is our implementing agency, on getting a sense of what impact we made during the Science Week. Socio-economic innovation partnership, we are happy to say that we have received a generous grant with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to investigate innovative sanitation technology solutions that could be piloted in a number of areas, and one of the pilot areas, as you know, is the Nqeba Circuit of the Eastern Cape as part of the suite of interventions that we are providing in this rural school. So not only are we providing tablets, but we're looking at whether we can look at alternative energy, innovative sanitation technologies for the school in the area. We are also happy that there was a competition challenge on in the Imagine Cup local final, and some of our students were able to develop solutions to real world problems being experienced by respective communities. So again, this is a good sign that our students can compete at the highest level. So again, here we think we are on course to get the knowledge products on technology-led opportunities for sustainable livelihoods, as well as the knowledge and innovation products in the form of patents, knowledge, technology transfer packages that we have set as a target. And then lastly, Chair, this is the breakdown of the finances per program. You can see that the bulk of the program goes to program 4. This is research, development and support, with the NRF being an implementing agency for this area. Program 5 receives the largest one. This is looking at how you can use science and technology for sustainable livelihoods and in partnership with other government departments. And then the next one is Program 2, the one that looks at new and emerging areas of research. And then Program 1 receives a modest 5%, as well as Program 3 at 1.8%. This is the split of the budget. You can see again that over 92% of our budget goes to institution, and then as a department we are left with a mere 8% to provide money for the compensation of employees, goods and services, and capital assets. Where are we in relation to the budget at the moment? So for the first quarter, we were hoping to have spent 21.7% of the budget, and the actual expenditure is 21.6, so a variance of about 0.2%. So we're very happy with the tight monitoring of the budget. We also provide a sense of where we are on the expenditure and the revenue of the donor funds. This is the expenditure per program, if you'd like to have a look, and you can see that most of the programs are within the limit of what we are expected to spend. It's between 7% negative and positive. This is the cash flow. In other words, we have the blue line, which is our attempt to say per quarter how much money will we need either for transfer or for the utilization in the department. And you can see that the red line shows where we are in relation to what we had set out as the money to be spent. This is, again, one of the practices of just managing your cash very well, because if you draw a lot of money from National Treasury, they say that they lose interest that they would have on the money if you ask money and you sit with it in your bank account in the department and then you're not using it. So in conclusion, we think that around about 71% for the first quarter targets are on course. We are putting in place as the executive measures to track those that are on course and those that are in yellow, if you remember. We have human capital, knowledge generation and exploitation infrastructure in Africa. Collaboration will remain key focus areas that are central in the 14-15 plan. And then we are committing ourselves to continuous improvement in a range of activities, and also trying to see how we can have targets and indicators to indicate our contribution to poverty, unemployment and inequality that is facing the country. So that's a short presentation, Chair, and we're happy to take questions. I'm told that the report, which we hadn't signed by the time we prepared the presentation, is ready, and we'll leave you with a copy of the detailed report. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Phil. You are not the Dr. Phil on TV. Okay, thanks, Dr. Phil. Members, that's the presentation. The unfortunate part is that this is something that was done not by us, but we take everything for stood. When we were elected, we just took everything as if it's our own. So they didn't tell us their targets then. It was the other group that they told the target. But they're telling us that 71% of what they wanted to achieve, they've managed to achieve. But there are interesting things that probably we need to inquire. Maybe some of them you might not have to answer, Dr. Phil. Obviously, you have a cross-cutting type of development in all the development. And without looking at the NDP, but there's always a competition. When you are given 5 years, you are competing to do something within that 5 years and making sure that your development is going to be in the limelight. And obviously that must be causing problems for you. When you're going to talk about resistance to antibiotics, health is going to want to take that and be the affliction. How do you manage that? I'm sure this question is not coming for the first time to you. One other thing that doesn't seem to come up very clearly is in some of your achievements that probably you didn't, it was not your target, it's the demographics. Do you have a good representation on the demographics on the ground in your achievements that you have talked about? One would be very interested in the, much as politicians, we don't want to go deep into the detail, but your donor funding becomes very important for us. The reason for donor funding, especially looking at your research, the one who gives you more money is the one that they want to report to. So would be interested in knowing who is giving you the donor funding. Just to tell us some of these donations are coming from here. So So members, that is the presentation, and in fact they've put it very clearly as to what their targets were, and I'm sure you can see that in page 8, because it's very clear, and you can see that it's actually cross-cutting in all the departments when you look at that today. So members, that is welcome, Honorable Mtsobo. We started, we knew that because of the rain, you're going to delay. Welcome, Anneli. We were told that you were together with Mtsobo, trying to find your way to this place. So the fact that you managed to get in here, all of us who came late because of the rain, they've managed to do a research as to understand when is it going to rain heavily and when is it not going to rain heavily. But it's something that you must do for us so that we can predict our lives. Okay, members, it's open to you now to ask questions. Anneli, I was complaining that everybody decided to sit on the next bench. Now everybody just comes in and follows the trend. But I wanted you to be close to the opposition, which is the department, to be close here. But I'll leave you for today. Okay, I've seen your hand, Janetta. Anneli, you can go on.
Thank you, Chair. Also, my apologies, and maybe we could ask the department to do some research into why in Cape Town when it rains there are people crashing into one another as if they're not used to rain in this city. But in any case. Delay, and it's about the waiting for a response from DTI. And as the Chair has said, this is really a cross-cutting department and with so many links to the Department of Trade and Industry. I think also in our presentation last week we spoke about this. What is being done to get this process to maybe not to delay your activities so that you're not always dependent on another department for not achieving your targets. Thank you.
Anneli, I didn't see another hand. You wanted to say something? Okay, that is.
No, I'm saying I'm sort of sure at least the second time, so this time I will leave it. I will ask the third time when I come again question.
Chair, you are a prophet. It's really to commend the department. You know, the expenditure that goes to personnel is generally a problem in government, and I think the ability to stick to that small percentage of the bigger pie, I think, is highly commendable. If it can be increased, of course, to less expenditure to personnel, it will be very good, and we direct the resources in the main to human capital and research and development. But generally, I think the other comments you made covered me, including what she said. Yeah, the fact that the department is generally over, not necessarily overseeing, but you interact with the entire government, and sometimes it can impact on your ability to do your things. But it will be interesting to know how do you deal with the question that she has already, my colleague has asked from the DA. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Kansa. We'll give over to you, the President. We don't have to belabor this point, but we think it's very important.
No, thanks very much, Chair. So let me address the first two points, the relationship with other government departments, and then I'll quickly say a few words about the donor funding. At the moment, we coordinate or work with other government through memoranda of understanding. It's signed between the two ministers, our minister with the Minister of Basic Education, for instance. The two deputy ministers are overseeing the rollout of the pilot or the pilot that we are doing in Kofimva. With the Department of Trade and Industry at a DG level, we meet, and then the officials level, there's a working group that would work on key things that we agree we need to collaborate on. And then once every 3 months, the ministers meet on the issues where we think we are unable to move forward. So this issue of the IKS bill with DTI is on the agenda. The other one is the issue of commercialization strategy and make sure that what we do on this side and what they do. With the Department of Health, same thing. At the moment, we are looking at the possibility of getting the DST to take a bigger shareholding in an institute that is developing vaccines here in the Western Cape. So in general, this is the instrument that we use. Does it always work? 70% it works, and then of course 30% it doesn't, but it's the only instrument at the moment that we do have to try and coordinate. But in the future, we are thinking of two instruments that we'd like to introduce. The first instrument is something which we call a budget and research and innovation budget coordinating process. This is a recommendation that came from the Ministerial Review Committee, which the current minister set up, I think, about 2-3 years ago. It's one of the 36 recommendations that are in there. So essentially, we see this as an instrument where the funding to all the science system institutions, or all the institutions, both on the higher education but on the science councils, that report to our minister and those that report to other line ministries can sit together and agree what is the budget that is needed. So this is in the early stages of discussion, and it's in the approval processes of government. Once the two ministers agree on this as a mechanism to begin to coordinate, but this coordination, as you can see, is more on the budget but also on perhaps the research alignment. Another instrument that we are researching, emphasizing the word researching, is an instrument called the Science and Technology and Innovation Act. We have learned that other countries use an act as a mechanism of ensuring that should there be an issue where maybe two ministries are not able to resolve, this STI Act provides a deadlock-breaking mechanism in one form or the other. So we are working with our colleagues from international to look at what models are being used elsewhere to develop this act. But it's early days, but at the right time, when we have done some research and some approval have been done, we were happy to come and report to ourselves. The issue of the donor funding, I think we get about 750 million rand from donor funding. We are still trying to tease these numbers in much more detail. About 500 million rand of that money comes from the European Union, and another 350 million rands plus minus come from the science and technology agreements we have with a number of countries. And then we are now beginning to get a sizable amount on philanthropic organization. I did indicate in the presentation the amount of money that we're getting from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. they, for the first time, have decided to put so much money both on the alternative sanitation technologies but also in the health area. But we are happy to, in one of the presentations, maybe just to get the ICR colleague not to only talk about the money, but which areas of research this money is directed at in order to strengthen the work that we do in the Department of Science and Technology. But those are rough sense of the numbers. And then you've asked, Chair, about the demographics. I do not have the numbers at the top of my head. I can give you my impression. We think that when it looks at women, I think we still got sitting at about 30% of researchers are women. So this is the statistic that we are not happy about. So we need to increase the number of women researchers in the system. 42, he says. So in the vicinity of 40. So we will be trying to design instruments that will find ways in which maybe in the next round of research chairs and emerging researchers, we look for mechanisms and instruments that we already have of funding more women researchers over and above some of the things that we do. In terms of black and white, I think the numbers would be skewed even more. I would imagine that 70% or thereabout of researchers are still white, and then about 30% are black. So there again, there is a lot of work that needs to be done in order to work on the demographic. On the student side, we think we have seen huge increases in the number of students, postgraduate students. I am aware that the colleagues in Program 4 have got detailed statistics on the number of students that we are now supporting. So what is worrying us, though, is how many of these students actually stay in the system. When I mean the system, I'm not referring to students who go out and work in industry. I'm referring to the number of students that stay in the system and they do research in one form or the other, whether at a university or whether in the Science Council. And this is the work that we want to do this year so that we can get a sense of whether we are producing at least the trajectory of the numbers of students that we're supporting is getting us in the right direction. But do they then stay in the system? And if they don't stay in the system, what are the reasons for that not to happen? But Chair, as I say, if you summon us to your chamber to come and give you a detailed breakdown on these numbers, I would rather we do this and we'd be happy to ask colleagues in Program 4, but other programs to consolidate the data that would enable you to engage meaningfully. It might be useful to also bring the NRF to that discussion because they are the main funders, so it's something that we can leave to the Chair so that you can engage with it in detail, so that also it's not only a case of where we are, but what are we projecting for the future, because we are in the process of developing a strategic plan and whether we've got the resources and what would it take for us if we need additional resources for us to do this. So that would be my suggestion. I think that addresses Honorable Lotrit's DTI response was embedded in the three. Honorable Lowe says she's taking a rain check, and then Honorable Matali, yes, this is the answer to how we relate with other government departments. So, thank you. Chair, I think I've covered all of
that. Thanks, Phil. You mustn't show them that you are looking for something because they'll ask you more questions. Thank you, members. Those were your responses. I think we need to keep on going back to something that I think we might not see it as important, even ourselves as politicians. Oh, by the way, welcome. He doesn't know whether he's a bird or he's a... is a mouse, but he's in between. He's helping the political head at the same time. He belongs to the department. He's not sure where he is. But I think, members, maybe sometimes it's nicer to simplify this department. To simplify this department, I think, is the key department for transformation. And if you look at everything that's happening in this world, revolves around innovation and science. And in fact, even if you go back, if we don't do well with this department, we might as well forget that we can transform the country and make it a better country. But that point doesn't seem to be understood by many of us who are in the driving seat. But there are a few things that probably I need to find out from you before you leave. One of them, there's a one China policy. I see one country that you are doing well with, and in fact, it's a country that we know doesn't have minerals, neither oil, but its economy is very good because of innovations and what they're doing, just like the South Korea. I mean, the things they do, they are making their economy to be very good. So it means even if ourselves we could work on the human capital, we would actually do well. You know, one other thing that you always ask yourself, you're saying you've achieved 71%. You've got about 29% or less of things that you have not achieved. You decide that this is what I'm going to achieve this year. Nobody forces you and say you must achieve 1, 2, and 3. You decide on your own. Now, does it mean that you are biting more than what you can chew? Or you don't understand the terrain that you are working in? So you come back and say, no, these are the reasons why I didn't achieve this thing. Why don't we just target what we can, we bite what we can chew and say, this is what we can chew. This we can chew because of this. Or you tell us that I would have liked to have beaten so much, but because even before you to put a target, you say, if you can help me with 1, 2, and 3, I'll be able to achieve this, but can you help me as the decision makers of this place? Is it very difficult to do, or is it something, then the research, I think I seem to favor, I'm not sure what the other members, I seem to favor this one of the research institute, that we should have a research institute that is going to be cross-cutting and that is going to have its own vote to make sure that nobody is going to claim that, you know, in my 5 years I've done 1, 2, and 3, at the same time compromising the development of science and technology. But if it's something that is particularly there, whether whichever development, but you know, when you talk about research, it goes to that particular institute. So we don't have to fight whether it's agriculture, whether it's health, whether it's this, it just goes there. So that the country could benefit, not a particular individual because he wants to go back and be a minister the second term or wants to be a chair the second term, whatever. I'm hoping that these are very clear. And after that, after the response from that, we'll just have tea. That you will have tea and then move up. By the way, I'm told that when you drink tea, you mustn't take a lot of sugar. Otherwise, the sugar has got to be taxed more than. The more you use it, the more tax you're going to be paying. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The process of formulating targets is informed by a bit of history. In the sense of you know that for this budget this is what you can achieve. So you set the targets based on the resources you have, and sometimes the history, what I mean is the lessons of how long it takes to do certain things. So they are self-imposed targets, so the answer is yes. And we try not to set too low targets, which we know when we come to you, we come and say 100% of the targets have been achieved. We go back to Pretoria, and then we are happy, when in actual fact the difference of what the sector is supposed to do is not being done. So we do stretch ourselves. And this is the engagement that we have with the minister in saying, can you do more? And then we negotiate with her, say, yes, we can do more, which is your second part of the question. but this would require the resources, and of course that is usually informed by a sense of the numbers and a sense of realization that we cannot overstretch to a point of being unreasonable in what we said, because then everybody, the Auditor General and yourself, if we are below 80%, you are unable. So that's the process that we put in place. So it's the lessons learned, it's the budget that we have, but also with a little bit of stretching of ensuring that what we are hoping to achieve is achieved. Now, the second part of your question, which is, what is it that we, if we had to stretch our targets in terms of what we see the country doing, it's essentially three things, Chair. The first one, what we're finding is that in certain instances, when we have innovations, which is your point of the importance of the department, that we think can change things in South Africa, we're finding that sometimes it's not easy to get those that are supposed to implement or roll out that solution to accept it, both at the level of procuring from a South African-based innovation, but also just a little bit of rollout in a particular area. I had an opportunity, maybe you did as well, during the budget vote, to learn more about an initiative that the University of the Western Cape has been doing in a rural village in the Eastern Cape, where they've been able to use a wireless mesh network, is essentially a cheaper broadband, together with a solar panel, to provide communication in a 30 square kilometer area in this rural village, where people can now communicate with cell phone using this, and they can charge the cell phone. Now, this is a wonderful technology, cheap, developed in South Africa. We should therefore not have a problem of challenges of communication in villages now that we have this. So this is one of the challenges. We have a pilot initiative where we have a 2.5 kilowatt energy fuel cell that has been developed at the University of the Western Cape. This can power a hospital, a school, and a couple of houses in a village. We have done this. If you visit the center, you'll be able to see. So there is no reason why, therefore, we should continue to struggle to have villages that are off-grid that cannot be supplied with some energy. So that's the first challenge in terms of how could we as a collective convince others to believe on the things that we are doing. So that's the first one. The second one is a proposal of what's possible. What we are doing now is we are finalizing our five-year strategic plan. So in that plan, we are doing two things. We are saying, on the basis of the amount of money that has been allocated to us by Treasury in the next 5 years, or at least the next 3 years, because that's what the MTF gives you, this is what we can achieve. But we are also saying, if we want to achieve the goal of a knowledge-based economy, what are the requirements, both that and the NDP? For instance, we know the amount of masters and PhD postgraduate students that we produce at the moment. We know that the NDP sets a target of about 100. We said last time we were 100 per million of population. At the moment, we are producing about 33 or 35. So in other words, if we want to have the numbers of masters and PhD akin to the countries that you've talked about, Republic of Korea, Japan, and others, we will have to produce three times the number of masters and PhDs that we're producing. So we are doing a modeling that says, even if you had every researcher at the university with a masters and PhD, there's no way you'll be able to absorb all of, be able to train all of this. So we need a three-pronged strategy. We need a strategy to make sure that we expand our research capacity so we can train more. We need a strategy of bringing people from outside to help us in the immediate term, and then over the long term, hopefully then we would also need to send student support, because we just don't have enough capacity for those. So that's the stuff that we are working on at the moment, and we'll be able to then come and share the details of this plan with you, because those things are going to require huge resources. Sending students abroad, if you have to give them full scholarship, is not a small matter. But as I say, we hope that when we are ready for the draft that we're supposed to submit in November, we will have done a little bit of modeling work around some of these. Where can we take some of the innovations that we have done into the next level of rollout, all of those ideas? How can this sector contribute meaningfully to increasing competitiveness, calculated in either GDP terms or in terms of revenue that would come from export? We will have maybe a reasonable back of the envelope calculations of what that potential would be. So that would be the proposal, Chair. Thank you.
You didn't answer the one China policy. I know it's a difficult one.
You mean the fact that every human being must only have one child?
No, even that one you can answer it if you want to. No, but this one, there is one China policy. Now, here we're talking about having gone to Taiwan. And Taiwan has got a population of about 25 million. Yet if you look at their economy, it looks to be somewhere there, up there. Yet they don't have some of the things that we have in South Africa, like your mining, producing oil from coal and whatnot. But their economy, and it is because of the innovations. And in fact, I think I've seen some of their innovations, which are very good. But now, how do we trade with them? I mean, how do we move with them? Because they've got this one China policy where you've got to start in China to get to them.
Thanks, Chair. I think the you can also help us as a portfolio committee, because, and in fact, I think this is a discussion that should happen politically. The experience that we've had with the government in Malaysia is that there are certain functions that are centralized and coordinated in the Prime Minister's office, precisely to do this. The same thing with the Republic of Korea and to some extent in Japan. If you go to Japan, science, technology and innovation issues are centralized or coordinated around the office of the Prime Minister. So that helps tremendously in addressing what you're saying, to say if we are producing cars, it's Chinese cars, the first buyers of those cars, and this, okay, whether it's a good thing or not, I'm not sure, but they become the first consumers of the products that they produce, and then they export, and they improve over time. So I think there are lessons on how this has been done. The arrangement we're having, or the lessons we are learning with the Malaysians, I did indicate last time that they bought a product in South Africa from one of our state-owned companies. And as part of developing high-tech industries in Malaysia, they are looking for all opportunities as part of the offset agreement of that product for South African technology to flow and be transferred to Malaysia. Again, all of this work is coordinated in the Prime Minister's office. Other government departments, they come to the party, but the Prime Minister's office says this is what we will do. So I'm not sure if we can think of a model similar to that in South Africa.
No, thanks. I know it was a bit of a difficult question, but it's something that probably needs to be handled at this level, at the level of the politicians and international relations. But the point that I was trying to bring is that you might see something good, and one should be able to learn from those experiences of that particular individual, but you find a way of not compromising the situation, but being able to get whatever information that you want to get. No, thanks very much. That is it. I'm sure we could go for that, but there's one thing that maybe you need to, not you, but we need to work at our people and understand that if we don't have confidence and patriotism within ourselves, we'll always be beaten by other people. Because there's so many things that we've done in South Africa, so many innovations, but those innovations, they disappear. I mean, to know that the first heart transplant was done here, the creepy crawly that cleans the water was done here, the CT scan was started in South Africa. Now there are these new innovations that are coming up, and there's a whole lot, but we seem not to have confidence. And sometimes, if I'm carrying this watch, I become very proud if it's made in Britain or in China. If it's made in Polokwane and Limpopo, I say, no, it's not good enough, because it's made in Polokwane, and I don't know, even if it's beautiful, even if it's good, I say, no, because it's made in Polokwane, I don't want it. I want the one that comes from Britain or China, and then I can boast when I'm drunk, when I'm in the shipping there, I can say, look at my watch, I bought it in China. And if we can change that attitude, we know that we are South Africans. You must first buy what is in South Africa. In fact, I went to Malaysia, and there's something that I noticed there, that all the cars, it's warm there. They don't know snow. Most of the people have never seen snow. But you never see a car that has got a heater. They make their own cars, there's no heater in them because it's always warm. Ourselves, we buy those cars and you've got to change it on the way. Instead of saying, how do we produce our own cars that are going to be able to have heater, to have this, but we are not assisting each other. Because some of us are not patriotic, some of us are trying. I think we need to change that. And even if we fight, we need to make sure that we fight such that there are certain things that we cannot fight about.
She must only buy local from now on.
What's that?
You must only buy local from now on.
Exactly.
We will
change.
You must challenge your
neighbor. Don't ask me where I got my coat. I'll be ashamed to tell you where I got this coat, but we'll try and buy. I'm going to go and buy from Northwest.
You see, our cars achieve only travel at night and they fly.
Okay, thank you. Let's go for tea. Let's go for tea, and then we'll have the other food. I'm not sure what our members wanted to follow up questions. No, if not, let's go and have a short break. Thank you very much. doing it.